let's take a short tour of the history of labor and what that has to do with energy today and the energy scarcity that is now upon us. So in early human civilization, labor was very often just human labor in the form of slave labor. Even in the Roman Empire, in South America, you know, slavery wasn't something that was invented by the United States of America. Some people, for some reason, don't know that. Slavery has existed for thousands of years. I mean, it's written about in the Bible. And it was a way for the people in charge to capture the labor output of those who were less fortunate. When human labor wasn't enough, of course, there was animal labor. Horses, oxen, you know, beasts of burden, to pull a plow, to carry a load, to pull a wagon, what have you, right? Transportation, farming, all that. So that was a magnification of human labor because a horse is stronger than a human. But then you have to feed the horse, you have to take care of the horse, etc. But it's from horses that we get the term horsepower, which is still used today to describe the output of an engine, which is kind of interesting, a combustion engine. But from, you know, horses and animals, we got to steam engines. And steam engines were the earliest, simplest forms of engines because you could just burn coal or wood and heat water. And when that water boiled and turned to steam, it would expand. And then that expansion could drive a piston or a water wheel. You know, the boats that would sail up and down the rivers like the Mississippi, they were steam-powered boats. It was steam that drove the water wheel for the propulsion. And there were early steam engine cars, too, by the way. They weren't very successful. Not good when, you know, when the water tank explodes and kills everybody with the steam burns. But that wasn't good. But nevertheless, you could use steam engines to drive belts, large belts in industry, and then you could attach a bunch of machines to the belts, and those belts would drive machines that did things like create textiles, for example. So there was a time in the early Industrial Revolution when everything was belt-driven with steam engines. And then, of course, after the steam engine was the combustion engine. And the combustion engine really developed late 19th century, and also the diesel engine on a similar time era. But the diesel engine, you know, operates on somewhat different principles. For example, it doesn't have spark plugs. But then the combustion engine really took off and really multiplied human labor. And that system drove much of modern civilization for the last, you know, more than one century. Combustion engines, based on burning refined fossil fuels, and there's a lot of energy in those fossil fuels. You know, 1 gallon of diesel represents, I don't know how many hours of human labor, but it's a lot. It's a lot of energy in 1 gallon of diesel, not to mention, you know, 50 gallons like a drum. But then from there, we advanced to also electric motors, well, kind of in parallel, electric motors. Turn of the century of the 20th century is when they really came into being. And electric motors, of course, you know, multiply human effort in lots of different ways, but they require a power grid. And so the power grid was developed, and then natural gas was used to drive gas turbines that produce power for the power grid. And then later on, hydroelectric, and then later on, nuclear power, which relies on steam to drive turbines, by the way, kind of interesting. And in some cases, diesel generators that feed into the grid, things like that. So then we saw solar begin to get commercialized in the 1970s, although it was quite horrible back then. Today, solar energy and wind turbines and other green renewable energy sources are a lot more mature, a lot more capable. And so you have solar energy that is considered mature for a data center, powering those data centers, or powering even, you know, countries. You see that a lot in Europe, for example, partially powering the power grid. You see that even in the United States and in China, etc. So solar power plus wind plus natural gas is what drives the system today. So now we're far from human labor. We're far from even animal labor for the most part. And then what's coming is both low energy nuclear reactions, also called cold fusion, as well as hot fusion research that may or may not ever work. I guess we'll see. But the important point in all of this is as labor became more advanced and more multiplied, then we were able to grow more food and support more population and, you know, raise more families more easily. Because if your 1 hour of labor that you used to spend in the field shucking corn, now instead you can have a machine do 100 hours of labor that only takes your 1 hour of time, and that's called a tractor, then suddenly you can grow a lot more food. You can have a lot more specialization in society. And then when you have specialization in society, then you start to get scientific achievement in areas of extreme, you know, science specialization, like mathematics, and then eventually artificial intelligence and physics and advanced materials and so on. And then the artificial intelligence leads to the rise of machine cognition. And then the machine cognition gets to a level of AGI where it can replace humans. It can replace human minds. So human labor has already largely been replaced or augmented by machines, but human cognition hasn't yet been widely replaced. But that moment is now, well, it's essentially here because of the rise of AI. And so the two things that humanity produced, ideas, you know, or cognition, mental calculations, etc., and labor, both of those things are now effectively almost entirely obsolete. And thus, the controllers of the world, who have been following a long-term plan, now no longer have much use for humans. So AI was created by humans, but AI will replace humans. Just like, you know, diesel engines were created by humans, but diesel engines also replace humans in terms of the work they produce. And same thing with motors, etc. So we humans have created our own replacements. And now, for the first time ever, those replacements can outthink and outperform humans in many areas, such as law, medicine, science, journalism, etc., writing, computer code, all these kinds of things. So that's where we are now, which is why, for the first time in history, we are at the end of the era of human populations dominating the world. And where we have 8 billion humans right now, allegedly, that number is going to be drastically decreased. It's going to be a mass culling of humans down to a number of somewhere maybe around 4 billion. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But if the globalists have their way, they'll cut the human population by more than half. They'll cut it by 70, 80, or even 90%, because they just don't need people for labor or for mental work any longer, because machines and engines and gas turbines can replace both of those. And you need gas turbines to power the power grid, to power the data centers, to do the machine cognition, to replace the humans. So it is all interconnected. You got it? That's where we are in history. You are here. You are at the moment that humans are deemed expendable, replaceable by machines, no longer necessary for the advancement of human civilization, or I should say, post-human civilization. So that should actually be the name of this whole thing, is post-human civilization. We know the blueprint, and it's being pursued now, meticulously. So stay tuned. I will keep you informed, and I'll work to try to keep you alive, too, during all of this. You can follow my work at brightvideos.com. You can follow my articles at naturalnews.com. You can follow me on X at HealthRanger. And also check out my AI tools. My free AI book creation engine is at brightlearn.ai. And my free answer engine, or deep research engine, is at brightanswers.ai. So check those out. Stay informed. Thank you for listening. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, But here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and Iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.